I'm going to have you take the bulletins that you were given as you came in this morning. I just want you to turn to the back of it. We don't do this probably often enough, tie in what's going on in our midst and things that we're involved in as a church to our core values, our mission statement. It's important for us to make those connections from time to time. We are intentional as we do ministry to make sure that ministries fall within our core values. But this morning, I just want to highlight two of those core values as we get ready to have the El Salvador Well team come up and share with us. The first one is this. A part of what they do was service. So if you look down about three quarters of the way down, it says love through service. As a church, we believe that we are to love other people and we are to show that love to other people through serving them. Because we believe that we are to be a fellowship of caring believers, meeting physical, emotional, and spiritual needs, both in our congregation and in our community and beyond. And then the first one says evangelism. And I know that a part of their time out there is sharing the hope of Jesus Christ. It says we believe that we are called to take the message of salvation to a lost world. We believe that salvation comes from God and is available only through Jesus Christ. I want to share with you this morning from the book of James. In James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it says this. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Those words should be a challenge to us. If we proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, if we say that we have a relationship with Jesus, those words are for you and they're for me. And this morning, I want to just take a little bit of time as we have left here in the service to hear about what took place about a week ago now. So I'm going to have Jim and the rest of your team come on up. So I'm going to ask you guys that when we ask you a question, I'm going to ask you to stand up so that everybody can see, because they're going to want to see who's talking and what you're sharing. But before we do that, Jim's going to kind of open us up here.
Good morning. It's a great pleasure for me to present this team to you. I've told them, and I'll say it again, after the fact, it was the best team I ever had. Good workers. We went down there with a mission to serve the people in the community of Pamplona, El Salvador. It's in east central El Salvador. Our goal was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to give them a well. Each one of them has a particular focus of information on what they want to share about the trip. Dina and I have been going to El Salvador on these mission trips since 2007. This was the 10th trip we've ever taken, and I would say everyone's different, but this one was really fun because we ended up with a well, an artesian well. And as we go on, we'll explain a little bit more about that. But an artesian well basically is, we drilled the well, pulled the bit out of the hole, and the water was flowing up out of the ground. We put the casing in the ground, and the water was flowing out the top of the casing. And then we put the wellhead on, and the water was still flowing out. And they fill their cups up with water and don't even have to pump it. It's pretty exciting. But anyway, this was a very poor village, and about 150 people, I think, and there were four communities around that did not have water as well, so I imagine that eventually this water will be pumped over to these other communities as well because there's plenty there. The pastor has a bunch of questions to ask my team. You can just start at the top of the list.
Perfect. So we'll pass it down to Nate. Why don't you go ahead and share with us? You don't speak Spanish, am I right?
No, I don't speak Spanish.
So tell us how that worked in regards to communicating with people.
Sure. So it was tough for me, and I think some of the other group here, especially when we were drilling the well, because the people from Living Water, the three that were there helping us from Living Water, could speak English and Spanish, so that was very useful. But then later on in the week, some of the men took off of their days to work to come help us drill the well and to mix cement and do other various jobs with that. So communicating with them was kind of tough. But I will say that hand motions and gestures, your face, you know, just your facial expressions went a long way in providing them comfort and helping out with the job. And the two meaningful things from the language standpoint that meant the most to me was the first day that we were there, we went to see a well that they drilled 2 years ago. And the village that we went to see put on a show for us and put on a ceremony and out of joy and happiness for us to come back. And just to see that program, and they did hand gestures and to go with the song. And the most meaningful, I think, for all of us was the ending presentation and ceremony of the village when we presented the well to the village. They put crowns on all of our heads before, you know, the ceremony, and then they did a song at the end. Now, for us, it was in English, but they did hand motions to the whole song, and I think that brought everybody to tears.
I'm going to have you pass that mic down to the end there to Bruce. Bruce, before you guys showed up, where would they have found water?
The first day that we got to the village, which would have been Monday, we did take a little walking tour throughout the village, and we did get to see a couple places. Most of the people got water from basically a stream. And this stream, right on top of this stream, is a sugarcane field. So you can imagine all the runoff from that sugarcane field, pesticides and whatever they would put on the sugarcane field would just come down into this creek. I think you'll see some pictures later on. You'll see some ladies, they were actually washing their clothes in this creek, in this same creek. So you'll be able to see that creek in a little bit. The other places, there were some other more fortunate people that did have some very shallow wells dug at their place. The one shallow well was contaminated. It wasn't good for drinking. They could use it for washing clothes and things. The other one, the guy said he drank out of it, but I would really question it. Within a couple steps of that well was where he went to the bathroom, the outside toilet there. So you can imagine. And then, again, these are shallow wells. And the last one I'll tell you about, this family was a little bit... had things going pretty good. They did actually have an electric pump hooked up to their shallow well, and they pumped it into a holding tank which had some fish in it. And that fish was there before it would come into their place to eat parasites and things like that to help clean that water up. So that's where it was.
You can pass that right to Sebastian there. Sebastian, tell us about a day in the life of Pamplona. Is that how you say it, Pamplona?
A day in the life. I guess we could all have a different perspective on what this was kind of like, but from my perspective, besides the one day that they stayed back to help us, I would say the men during the day are non-existent. They're out working in fields or what have you. So filled with women and children, I'd say almost as many children as probably any as women and men combined, maybe. So it seemed to me like they pretty much just they spend their days, you know, washing clothes in the river and cooking and preparing, you know, all the food for at night. I'd imagine from when their families come home. Their kids would just run around and, you know, play with soccer balls or, you know, play in the dirt or with the dogs or, you know, whatever they would, whatever they have to play with. So Jim and Dina told us that this was the first day on Monday when we were walking around. They told us that this was the nicest village that they had seen. And I think that took a lot of us by surprise. We're like, wait, what? This is the nicest you've seen? Because compared to obviously what we have, it's, I wouldn't call it luxurious, that's for sure. But it seems like they just live a very simple life. They don't have a lot, obviously. They work with what they have. You know, like Bruce said, the one house did have electric, but I think that was an anomaly, right? That was the only house in the village, I believe, that had the electric like that. But it still, it was just like, you know, one thing for the sink and the shower, little shower and stuff. They didn't have hot water or anything like that. But, I would say overall they live just like a very, very simple life.
And just another piece of question is, did the community appreciate the gift of the well that you guys put in?
Oh, man, that appreciate is an understatement. I would say many of them, the last day when we did the well dedication, they were just sobbing uncontrollably, a lot of them. As soon as we finished it, some boys came up, like four or five, I'd say like teenagers, and they were just astonished by it. They were playing in it and drinking it, and they seemed really like just surprised it was there. They kind of seemed like they were like, "What is this?" I think the most memorable one was this, a little girl. I think she was about 7 years old, and she was just weeping and just so appreciative of it. And I don't know if we ever got to talk to her mom, but our guess was maybe her mom told her that she doesn't have to be sick with parasites and be sick all the time anymore, because now she's actually going to have clean water to drink. I think that was the other thing that surprised me. I didn't realize that they all, you know, just parasites and the bacteria and stuff in the water that they're drinking, because it's so contaminated, that they're just sick all the time, that the babies just die because they don't have clean water to drink. And it's just, I'd say they were very, very appreciative of the well.
And have you passed that down to Faith? Faith, how has the trip impacted you? How has it changed your life?
So most of you know I'm a missionary kid. So going into this trip, there wasn't a whole lot that scared me or if I thought I was going to see new. The landscape was incredibly like Africa. The sites that we saw were very Africa-like too. The cows walking down the street. We had to wait to pass them until they got off. The one thing that was new was the corn drying on the road that we had to go around. I've never seen that. But the thing that I was not ready for were the connections that we made. The three ladies here, we went with the one lady who was from the El Salvador team, and we went with the women and children. And Dina had said to us, it's hard to believe that you're going to connect in 3 days. But, wow, we connected in 3 days. And by the time we were ready to leave, there wasn't a dry eye. When we first got there, I think we were looking at it with our eyes. You know, we were taking in all, you know, like how they live and where they do their laundry and all of that. But near the end of our trip, we were experiencing it with our hearts. You know, we were like connecting with those women, and we were seeing their dreams for their children are the same as our dreams for our children. They don't want them to be sick. You know, they want to lead healthy lives. And we were able to help the El Salvador team do that. And we don't feel like we gave much at all. And yet they acted as if we were royalty. And that's the way they treated us the whole time, as if we were royalty. And so that would be the impact. I just want to leave you with one thing. We can sit up here, stand, sit, and speak all we want. That's not going to impact you. What's going to impact you is to go. So that is the only way God's going to just show you something different than what you see. So I encourage anyone that can, don't let any fear of getting sick. We've done that. We've been there, and you live to tell this, you know. So don't let that stop you from having an experience like this, because it's incredible.
Pearl, was it work all the time, or did you guys have some fun stuff mixed in with your times? And then also, did everything go as you guys planned?
Okay, our schedule for that day was pretty busy. Each day we got up at 7, we had devotions, 7:30 we had breakfast, and by 8 o'clock we had to be in our vehicle to go to the community. And then we got there. The guys went and drilled the well. We went and prepared for our lessons for the afternoon session with the kids. We also had lunch made by the ladies of the community, and boy, did they feed us well. It was very good. They really went out for it. They were so gracious, so such a blessing to us. We also had a siesta, which was unusual. We got to lay around for a half an hour or something after lunch, so that was kind of cool. And then the ladies in the afternoon, we had the women and children come, and we did crafts, Bible stories, hygiene lessons to teach them how to use the clean water, which they've never had that opportunity. So we had to teach them not to use dirty hands. They had to wash their hands, use clean utensils, things like that. And then we got back to our place of our hotel and stayed for supper. We would get back between 5 and 6 one night. I think it was 6:30 or something. Then supper was at 7. And then after that, we had a time of reflection with our team. And then we did have some fun. We played pool in the evening for a little while before we went to our rooms. But that was 4 days of that. And then on Friday, we went zip lining and shopping because we had the well and dedication the day before. And all of us went zip lining, believe it or not. It was fun. But it was a very, like I would say the same Faith said, you can only experience it by going. We can tell you anything. But those people just gave us everything. It was so, and we couldn't communicate in our speaking, but just the hugging and the sobbing among all of us, it was so worthwhile to all of us.
Keith, can you share with us how the well that you guys installed in Pamplona will impact the community?
Well, we had the pleasure, the first day we were there, of actually going to a well that was drilled 2 years before, so we kind of got to see the future of that well. And it was very interesting because they knew we were coming, and they had balloons and stuff all set up, and they had like a program. They had some of their leaders from their community speaking, and a minister was also speaking, and Jim had a chance to speak. And you could just see, this was 2 years after their well there, how important it was. And a lot of people turned out, and they were sitting in rows, and you could still see the appreciation 2 years later of that community. And as was mentioned by some others, the areas where they had to get their water, either hand-dug shallow wells that most of their properties are very, very small. I mean, you're looking at maybe an area twice the size of this stage that has their house, their well, if they even have a hand-dug well, and pit toilets. So you know you're going to have contamination in your well because the toilets are so close. And this is, you know, what they're using. And also the stream, you know, you have animals in there, you know, and runoff from crops, you know, herbicides, pesticides, people doing laundry in the streams, even upstream, and they're drinking that water downstream. So just the sickness, they were talking about, you know, the infant mortality because of sickness and just the sickness of the children and so forth in general, how, you know, having a fresh water source is going to make a huge difference for them. And I think, and just their appreciation, you could just tell, you know, that. And the other thing is, not only does it affect this community, but people from surrounding communities can also come there and get water as well, you know, until they have a better water source for themselves as well.
If you want to pass that down to Greg. Greg, do you want to share with us why should people consider going on the missions trip? Why not just send money?
Sure. So before I went, I heard a lot of questions. People said, why are you going to El Salvador? It costs how much? You donated what? They say it's dangerous there. Aren't you worried about getting sick? Why don't they drill their own well? So to that, I said, God's not interested in our ability, but our availability. everything we have is a gift from God. We're to use it to grow to salvation and help others, not hoard it for our selfish pleasures. Danger is everywhere. Who can add a day to their lives by worrying about it? Should I be unwilling to be uncomfortable for a few weeks in return for healthy water for hundreds of people for generations? We all won the lottery by being born in America. There's no shortage of opportunity here. There they work for $5 a day, and women have children early and often. Clean water is the first step to changing your cultural pattern. And basically, that's why you should go. But we can talk about it all day long, but until you see it, you won't understand it.
Vina, I'm going to have you share with us about Agua Viva, El Salvador.
Agua Viva in Spanish means living water. Now, Jim and I have been have known about living water since 2003, but we did not put our first well in. We took a team in 2007. We are always really impressed with the staff. They are amazing, wonderful Christian men and women who give of their time, not just to put the well in, but also to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have personally gotten to know them very well. Carlos Molina, who is the head of Living Water there in El Salvador, started the year we went in 2007. And there isn't a big turnout of staff. They keep their people, and they're really passionate about what they do. They're good at it. They're honest, hardworking people. They stay with us for the whole week. Whoever picks us up from the airport is our driver, is our driller, and they stay with us until they take us back to the airport to come home. So these men and women only go home on weekends. That's the only time they see their family. It's just amazing. They don't complain. Some of them had... There was two teams down this time when we were there. And we were lucky. We had no problems putting that well in the first day. You know, we hit water. The other team were having all kinds of problems and also problems with their equipment. So their well driller had to get up early one morning to go get a part, to go and fix the drill, and then he stayed after the team came home to make sure that this well was put in by Thursday or Friday. So they work so hard, and they make you feel like you're part of their family. They're very warm. They're very, I mean, it's just so easy to fall in love with them, really, truly. We trust them. They have always done what they said they're going to do. It's a good organization, and we're really pleased to be working with them. And this well, it was the first well that came from Fairland. This is our 41st well that was put in. So we realize the impact of clean water. We have gone back to some of the villages that we put water in, and it's amazing how the village has grown because people hear that there's clean water, so they move to where the water is. And you might ask, why El Salvador? I was born in El Salvador. I was there till I was 7 years old. So the Lord has really put it in Jim and my heart to do this. We are His feet and His hands there. And we feel so fortunate to be doing it for the Lord. We have funded this 41 wells It's been all the Lord. Truly has been all the Lord. Putting, you know, working in people's hearts to help us, to give us the money that it takes to put these wells in. All we do, especially Jim, he loves to talk about this well project, but it's something that has been put in our hearts to do, and we're just so thankful that we're able to do it. And hopefully, some of you will be willing to go along with us the next time and experience it yourself.
Jim and Dina have taken the leadership on this and just done a phenomenal job. Thank you guys so much for sharing the experience. Jim's going to share with us a little bit more here as we close our time.
Yeah, we have a few slides that I'd like to show, and I'll make a few comments on that. That picture there is a typical home. That's actually, those are not adobe bricks. Those are manufactured bricks, but there's a mix in the village between adobe and manufactured bricks. Adobe is basically just dirt packed together with some straw and baked in the sun for a while, and adobe bricks can last 100 years. And this is actually where they were getting water. It's a river, and if you look just a little further upstream, they're also washing the clothing there. So they come over and they get the water right out of the river, right below where somebody's washing clothes. So you can imagine the quality of the water. And there they are washing the clothes. That's a closer up. Imagine moms having to haul your clothes 3/8 of a mile to the river and beat them on a rock. You see that rock right alongside there. They beat them, and they have a little bit of soap with a scrub brush, and that's how they clean their clothes. And we have always been amazed at how clean they are. You can take a 4-year-old child, walk them down a dusty, dirty road for a mile, and they still look immaculate. Now imagine sending your child down a dusty, dirty road and what they would look like with white socks up to their knees. Next. Here is the Bible story time, the health and hygiene. You see the little boy with the cut out teeth there. They teach them how to brush their teeth, how to wash their hands. You ask, why should we have to teach them to brush their teeth and wash their hands? They never had a clean water source, so there was never any, a mother to teach them to wash their hands, to keep their hands clean, so they don't get germs and bacteria, so they don't get sick. So this is, to just give them a fresh, clean water source isn't enough. We have to teach them how to protect the integrity of the vessels that are carrying that water. Here's Sebastian the Great. Our magician, he captured the hearts of the villagers doing his card tricks. And that's always something that they love. They feel very special just to have visitors come to their village, because nobody ever visits them. They're the forgotten, the lost, and nobody ever, unless you have a reason to go into that village, you're not going in. And here's the drilling rig. The drilling rig is pulled with a pencil hook behind a small stake body truck. It's got two little diesel engines in it, one for mud and one for turning the drilling rig. And there you can see the water is coming up out of the hole. And here are the laborers. Everybody works. We all worked, and it was just a joy. I think that's Greg. Is that you? That's Greg, standing there enjoying the blast of fresh water coming out of the hole while we're blowing the hole to freshen it and clean it up after it was drilled. And that's how they mix concrete. They don't have cement mixers. So they put a big pile of concrete on the ground and put a hole in the top of it and put like a dollop of gravy in it. They put a dollop of water in there, and then they just turn it in. And there's Sebastian shoveling the concrete up and to put it into buckets and carry it over to the well pads. They go out and collect big rocks to put in the bottom of the base to take up space so they don't have to make so much concrete. And that's sideways, but that says that we hit 36 meters, 6-inch pipe, 120 feet down. All of us signed our names on it, and that's the casing that went into the well to bring the fresh water up. And they were shoveling gravel. Basically, you know, it's not terribly modernized, but it's pretty sophisticated the way they've got it all figured out. 1 5-gallon bucket of material takes about 13 feet, or fills up about 13 feet of the hole around the casing. So they put X amount of 5-gallon buckets of stuff in, and they know exactly where they're at. When they get up to within about 20 feet of the surface, then they pour in concrete to seal the top 20 feet of it so no contamination gets into the well. They're dumping stuff down along to seal that's concrete hole plug to seal the top of the well. And there they're cutting bricks with the always present machete. They do everything with machetes. You'd be amazed what they can do with it. You know, they can chop coconuts open and break bricks and chop their way through the jungle and whatever. And everybody carries a machete. They're laying the bricks. Every village that we've ever been in has one guy that's really good at laying bricks. And they didn't disappoint us this time. But this time, because of the uniqueness of our well, they had to redo it all. Normally we put that rectangular border of bricks around. You see the pipe there on the corner. That's a drain that carries the water underground to about 30 or 40 feet away, so the water that comes off the pad doesn't make a muddy mess around the well. Now, this is a really cool picture here. That hole in the side of the wellhead, and I was telling you about the artesian well, that hole has been in every well we've ever put in, but I didn't even know it was there. That hole was there because in certain installations they have to have a chlorine injector that they can use it to purify the water. In this case, we put the wellhead on and the water's shooting out like that, and nobody's pumping it. And I think that's pretty cool. That plaque there says, "Este pozo es donado por Pharaoh and Brethren in Christ Church." It says, "This well was donated by Pharaoh and Brethren in Christ Church and Living Water International in the name of Jesus." This is the dedication service. They brought in some tents. This is like a big party for the whole area. Everybody came. There were some people that came from other communities to celebrate this new well. Now, imagine how excited each one of you would be if somebody gave Cleona a whole brand new hand pump well. Wouldn't that be exciting? We all want to not miss that celebration, right? Well, this was quite a celebration. There, some people from Fairland made donations that we could bring gifts to the community. We gave out 60 Bibles, 60 Spanish Bibles, plus a lot of items that were needed by the community. And we actually had quite a bit of stuff, and we shared it with the community that the other team was down there. We sort of traded some things back and forth, so we had a nicely balanced bunch of gifts for the community. But it was a really nice, you know, really nice community. Here's toward the end where they put the crowns on our heads. They treated us, I say this very carefully, but they treated us almost like we were Jesus himself. It was an amazing, amazing show of appreciation from the community. That's actually one shot of our hotel. It was on the beach, And that's what we came back to every night. But there isn't one day that any one of us sat out on the beach and were sunning ourselves. We went there and we were working all week long, except for the. But it's a beautiful hotel. It's a tropical paradise, right on the beach. We ate dinner on the beach every night in the beach house, and the food was great. And like I don't know who, Pearl or somebody said, they fed us really well. Maybe it was Faith, but I sort of expected I was going to lose a few pounds when I went down there. I think I put on a couple. It was really good. And here is just a bunch of the people that were at the celebration for this new well. We took the picture of them, and they just couldn't thank us enough. And that's the end of the presentation. At this time, Faith is going to explain a little bit about the closing. Oh, I have some more stuff to say here. I wrote some stuff down because I didn't think I would get it right. In Mark 16:15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God tells us to go. Before we go, we must say yes to the nudge of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to lead us. Much can be accomplished and many hearts may be led to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. All of heaven is rejoicing now because 29 people in Pamplona accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. Because this team said yes. Better yet, imagine the personal experience and joy you could have if you step back and allow God to lead you. Dina and I have been having a time and adventure of our lives leading this water ministry in El Salvador. God may be calling you to some conventional or unconventional task or ministry, and He will enable you. When God calls you, He will give you the tools to be successful. Fairland has a variety of ways for you to use your talents for Him. In Psalms 119:35, it says, "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." Just imagine what you can do if you say, "Yes, Lord." It doesn't have to be El Salvador. It could be anywhere. We are tentatively planning another trip like this in early 2020. And if you're interested, contact one of the team or myself. More information will be available in a couple months. I'm not raising money now. I'm just going to tell you that a new well is going to cost $10,500. And it costs $2,250 per participant. Everybody pays their own way. Any money that's donated to the water project... any money that's donated to the water project goes 100% to pay for the wells. Thank you. For the closing song, Faith is going to explain it. And
I'm just going to kind of give you the setting so you can appreciate the song, because I think some of you are going to recognize the song. But I think it was as early as Wednesday, they kept saying, "Oh, we have a secret for you." You know, we knew they were planning something, but we didn't know what. So there was that anticipation. So at the closing, they had played some games, and then some people from the community had come up and just expressed how meaningful the well was going to be for them. So we were already a little on the edge emotionally. And then they brought chairs out, and they sat us all down. And like they said, they put a crown on each of our heads, which we felt so unworthy, put a crown on each of our head, and then led by our head driller, who is El Salvadorian, Stanley, yeah, he would kind of sing the verse, there was an audio playing, and then the whole village, everyone in there, did the motions to this song. And so I think we're going to play it now, and if you're anyone who is, you know, doing something that you might think is insignificant in serving the Lord, I think this song tells you, it really re-emphasizes nothing is insignificant when you do it for the Lord.